Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Thank you for your mercies. Lord, we surrender to you again. Please don't let any one of us fall by the wayside. Again and again, our strength fails us, but our confidence is in you. Cause us to stand and cause us to run to the end. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We exalt you. We magnify you. Till the day you will come, Jesus, speaks of a great falling away at the end of time. He said the love of many will wax cold because iniquity will abound. There's a technology ingrained in iniquity to weaken the potency and the strength, the fire and the intensity in the life of a believer. Sometimes the program is weaved into territories, sometimes it's weaved into seasons to ensure that men burning for God will fall. And so the Bible says, let him that standeth, or him that thinketh he standeth, let him be careful, lest he fall. This is not a call for fear. It's a call for surrender. Because the race is not to the swift, neither is the battle to the strong. It's of the Lord that showeth mercy. The grace of God and the mercy of God that causes men to stand and to stand till the end, we receive tonight in the name of Jesus. Till the day you will come, Jesus, I am your own.
Thank you. you poor. Money will not make you poor. Men and women will not make you poor. The grace of God will cause you to stand to the earth.
Paul was speaking, and he said, I will not preach the gospel, and at the end of the day, myself will become a castaway. That day will not come when men will recognize you a second time. That day will not come when they will say, ah, she was on fire for God. That day will not come when they will look at you and say, once upon a time, he burned for Jesus. He said, for the path of the just man is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Your love will not wax cold.
Pray the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Kebarado Sabarakida Haragata. Letekenila Paria Talaba. Seziza Hazizo. Saparani Sakatiata Sizakapa. Rakiba Rosa Dina Taligapaya. Letekiba Drakino Satakash. Zatatakina Paragatoska. Ah! Ambra Kobarate Zuza. Rakibaro Sapatadina Sanakate. Not till we wrestle you down. Not fame, not power, not money, not influence, not man, not affliction. God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We magnify your name. The Bible said Job was the greatest man that lived in the east. But the devil came. The devil came. If not for God. A point came, God showed up and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? This was a man that when he spoke, the Bible said his voice was like the rain. When Job speaks, nobody talks again. But the devil came, and the utterances of Job began to darken the counsels of God. If God doesn't help us, who will stand? Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy.
Lord, money will not be your master. Fame will not be your master. Men will not be your masters. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Till the day you depart to glory. No one listening tonight, on ground or online, will fall. You will stand to the end. You will go back to glory in glory.
Thank you, Father. Just appreciate Jesus. Appreciate Jesus. Appreciate Jesus. Appreciate Jesus. You will not be the same again. The Lord has put a sound in your spirit. And so from today, I decree that that sound becomes a trumpet. And every time that voice is lifted, it will be a shofar to the nations. It will call men to the presence, and it will engender convictions in their souls. And by that voice, an army will be raised for Jesus. Step into another level. Step into another dimension. The name of Jesus. The glory on your life has increased. And from today, the light of God beams over you. As you arise from here, you will begin to shine. Because your light is come. And the glory of the Lord is lifted over you. Thank you, Father. Give Jesus a big hand. What a blessing. Glory to God. Please be seated. I tell you, most times it's not when the man of God comes up that God ministers to his people. From the beginning of the service to the end, the Holy Ghost is moving. And he chooses the part of the service where he climaxes his manifestations. See what the Lord has done. Glory to God. Can we celebrate God's servant, Brother Reward and Akerapo, for that timely word? It's a word in season. These sermons that God began to use Brother Reward to bring to us is, for me, it's a government to recalibrate and to restructure my operations, creating a higher consciousness of time. You know, for some of us who have a lot to do, sometimes you are just walking around the clock. It's really an issue. And then sometimes you are lost in one engagement. You can just go to pray, and as you're on the floor there, that is how it goes. But maturity and the urgency of the season demands that a higher level of consciousness of time is sustained to help us guide and coordinate our operations in order to be more effective even as we establish the kingdom of God on the face of the earth. So we thank God for that word. Because of his teachings, I will stop by it. Because of his teachings. And it affected so many other things. We thank God for the grace, and we thank God for utterance to communicate the counsel of the Spirit. One more time, can we celebrate God's Supper? For those of you that celebrate Valentine, for those of you that celebrate, God is love. And so love must be godly. And so if it's not godly, it's not love. Are we together? Just in case somebody is watching on ground or online and he has plans for the evening, God is love. And if God is love, love is what? Love is godly. So let it be godly by the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. This Wednesday and Thursday will be in Lugbe for another citywide outreach. The outreaches are beginning to grow so large. And so we'll be there for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Pray towards it, give towards it. And if you are available, labor with those laboring as we strive to expand the frontiers of God's kingdom. It was about to stop. As we saturate the city again and again, a point will come when we'll shift it to another level. And it will become citywide crusades. And it will continue like that If Rahab Bonnke won 70 million souls in 70 years, then he just gave us a benchmark. And so, there will be more records to the glory of the Father. Praise God. And so, push in the place of prayer. These things, they are not a joke. It's not numbers we are counting. We are not in the game of numbers. The reason I particularly insist we take the testimonies is to recalibrate our consciousness. The church of now and the church of our day is a church that celebrates only mundane things. You can take testimonies of cars every Sunday. Everybody is happy and jubilant. You can take testimonies of healings every day. People are happy and jubilant. But when you say souls are won, some people are even wondering, is that a testimony? If somebody comes up and says, this week I won 2 souls, a lot of persons will be like, okay, what is the testimony? But if he shows up and says, God gave me a car, woo! So the things that are eternal must become our consciousness. And we will insist until we celebrate that which is celebrated in heaven. They don't celebrate cars there. But the Bible says, if one soul is won, it said the angels rejoice and celebrate in the presence of the Father. And so if the angels will celebrate, we will celebrate here. And so if it's boring to you, you are welcome. We will do it for many years. But I'm sure we love souls and we love soul winning. Are we together? One more time, celebrate Jesus for the outreach. A lot of persons are praying for this. There is the Telegram handle and there are other platforms where people converge. Every night prayers are going on. The reason we are doing it with ease is not because we are strong. It's not because we are passionate. It's because grace is being supplied. Yesterday, one of the fathers of the faith in this country called me and spoke with me on the phone for over 35 minutes. And he said, when I saw that you started the work, I called my pastors and said, let's pray for him. He loves God. He's passionate. But he has come to another level of warfare in his covering. I say, I was thinking when the battles were coming and we were traveling, it's because I'm prevailing. It's because we had faith. So these are some of the things happening overhead. I now knelt down. I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I thought I was a strong man. The reason we do what we do is not because we are strong. There's a robust technology in the body of Christ that necessitates and ensures that God's programs don't fail. And one of the systems that makes these things happen is prayer, intercession, and priesthood. And so, pray. If you don't have money to give, no problem. But you have a mouth, you have a heart, and you are the righteousness of God, so pray. It said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It makes dynamic power available. So make sure you pray that the hearts of men will be open, that the message will be received, and that men will step out to receive Jesus, and Christ will keep them standing until he comes. Are we together? And if you have substance to give, it's the right course. Give towards it. And if you have the time, your engagement is not so choked, step out and come to the field. See what is happening. The person you speak to may just be scheduled to die the next week. And the reason you went there was for God to get you to talk to him. It may not even be the message from the platform. You may just stand with somebody by the side and you win that person to Christ. Most of those who travel with us, we see great testimonies of healings. The other time, Brother Dontel prayed for a brother while we made the altar call, just led of the Spirit, prayed with him, and the next week he died. Imagine if he didn't go for that meeting. So it's not just money. It's a kingdom transaction. So we give our time in prayer. We give our time by being present. And we give our resources. We're supposed to have a meeting in the campus. When they saw the momentum that was being generated, because the campus was led by the sons of the board women, they canceled it at the 11th hour. So we can't even replan. You are the only person who thinks it's a joke. The people on the other side, they can feel the vibration. They know what is happening is not a joke. And the reason I mentioned it is because a father, one of our fathers here, drove all the way from work. And he called me from Gwagwalada. I said, what's happening? I can't see. I said, I'm sorry, daddy. They canceled the meeting. An elderly man is passionate about it. You can't be young here and you sit down, you say, how many souls were won? be there. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles quickly. I have my God. It's better I don't mention it. But we've been blessed tonight. You don't know what happened here unless the Holy Ghost reveals it. Even me, I don't know. It's just a little I perceived. When the presence of God descends heavily, a lot happens that we may not even comprehend in 1,000 years. And so God came down strong. Some of you, is a fragrance of favor that was rubbed on you. You may go out and the week will just become special and you won't know what happened. You can't even trace it to the atmosphere. Some of you, you've just been removed from a program or debt. That's how God works. That's why we can never outdo God in thanksgiving. Because every time you say thank you, God did a million times more. And it's in heaven, you will truly be grateful. Even if you are rolling on the floor, it's nothing compared to what God did. And so, the Lord has visited us mightily. I just want to share a few things to give more muscle to the things we've been studying and also to help us engage further and more productively. Hallelujah. By the way, before I forget, the Women Fellowship, they are in full force. They are in full force. So much. The passion in their spirit is heavy. So they have prayers this Saturday, right? 18th. They are going to be having a prayer at the Secretariat from 8 a.m. to sometime around 11 a.m. Take out time. If you are a single lady or you are a mother, join them. Our mama, Sister Comfort, is coordinating the move. See them at the end of the day. They will give you the address and then you coordinate and see how the prayers will go on. Be part of it and create a covering for your family. Praise the Lord. And so they have that meeting and you are invited. It will be a special moment. I was told the last one they had, the weight of glory was something else. It was intense. And we have special women here. Captains of industry, intercessors, all kinds of people doing mighty things for God. You want to be a part of that fellowship as a lady. There's so much to learn and the glory of God is heavy there. So join them on Saturday and the Lord will do you good. Hallelujah. We are looking at a very sensitive subject. I would like to continue this evening for just about 30 minutes. The doctrine of power. We are trying to understand the doctrine of power. I began expounding on this subject, I think 2 weeks ago. And I tried to help us understand the significance and the place of power in our walk with God and in this treacherous world. I told you in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when the Holy Ghost came, one thing the Bible revealed he would bring immediately. There are many things the Holy Ghost brings or has brought. But when Jesus was speaking, he said, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. It's to give you an idea of the significance of power as you walk through life. You are a victim because you don't have power. You are marginalized because you don't have power. You are defeated because you don't have power. And if you are making progress, there is a kind of power at work on your inside. The reason we teach subjects like this is to help you know how to master its operation. Because these things can be happening in your life, but you can't place how they are activated and you cannot exercise them at will. But it is not the intention of God for things to happen to us. It is God's intention for us to make things happen. And for us to make things happen, there's a level of understanding we must have. Accuracy and precision in our spiritual engagement is a must in order to be able to make things happen. And so the Holy Ghost came with power. Jesus, after training his disciples for about 3 years, if not more, told them, please, don't run out with lecture notes. Your lecture notes are accurate. You've been with me for 3 years, you have some level of experience, but don't run out with experience. In Luke 24, 49, it said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Your insurance
as you go out will be the power at work on your inside. And so don't rush and tell people, I am that disciple that came with Jesus to your house. You can die. So tarry until you are endued with power. Every one of us need power. And when Paul was teaching in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And Paul summarized the gospel in one word. He said, it's power. He said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so if you don't call the gospel gospel, you can call it power. It's to give you an idea how important power is. But unfortunately, in our day and time, people have become philosophers. People have become theologians. People have become storytellers. And they speak so massively about God, but they don't have the capacity to represent the God they speak about. And so when you are done talking, the devil is waiting to find out what is the validation to these claims. That is when power becomes important. In Luke 5:17, the Bible said, at a certain time, Jesus was teaching. He said the Pharisees were there, and he said the power of God was present to heal. So Jesus is not a lecturer. When he speaks, he brings the witness of heaven. And so every believer who wants to be a witness for God must walk tangibly in power. It's not a resource for apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers. It's a resource for all that believe. And this is why in Mark 16, from verse 17, it said, they that believe, it said, these signs shall follow them. It said, in my name they shall cast out devils. It didn't say they shall advise demons, because it's a contention between kingdoms. Light and darkness will be at war. And he said, anyone that believes will have the capacity to cast out devils. He said, when they step onto any deadly thing, like scorpions and serpents, he said, it shall by no means hurt them. So all the technologies of darkness are impotent when a creature of power appears. It shall by no means hurt them. And he went further, in case it is put on your inside. He said, even if you drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt you. And he didn't stop there. Because the power is not just for your defense. The power is what mandates you to carry the kingdom forward. And so he said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So on one side, it defends you. On another side, it empowers you to advance God's kingdom. And so when Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 1 to verse 4, he said, I, brethren, he said, when I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring the counsels of God. Because it's possible to come talk about God with oratorial power, intense lingo. You dabble into one lingua franca to the other, and you are cutting through Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. You delve into French. You pull out registers from the science corridor. He said, I didn't come to display oratorial power. It's not excellency of speech that the kingdom is communicated with. He said, for when I came to you, I choose to know nothing amongst you except Christ and him crucified. I was with you in fear and trembling. He said, but my teaching, my preaching, my message, he said, they came with what? The demonstration of the Spirit and power. And he said, the reason I minister that way is so that your faith is not built on the wisdom of men. And so if there's no power, your Christianity is philosophy. And so the wisdom of men is oratory. The wisdom of men is philosophy. But the wisdom of God is what? The demonstration of what? Spirit and power. And it's on that premise that accurate Christianity begins. And so a Christian who doesn't know the way of power is a victim. And his convictions cannot be validated. In the day of crisis, that person will fall. And the person might change his or her confession. The reason we will stand, one of the reasons we will stand under the mercy of God is that power will be at work on our inside day and night to validate our claims. The reason what we say is not a lie, it's not because it's intelligible or intelligent. The reason what we say is not a lie is that there is a power that validates it. And so when I show up and I say God is a healer, it's not about the biblical exegesis, because a Muslim doesn't care about it. An atheist doesn't care about the exegesis. It's only a Christian that is interested to see the exegesis. When an atheist comes, if you say God is a healer, somebody has cancer here. I went to a church on Sunday. I was with Pastor Dele Oshomakinde, who blessed us mightily on Sunday. And when I was done teaching in the morning, I was talking about the ranks of an intercessor. How you grow in authority in the spirit. And I spoke about an intercessor. I spoke about a guardian. I spoke about a custodian. I spoke about a watcher. And I spoke about a judge. And I gave all their credentials in the spirit. And so when I finished the service, I went to sit down. They now brought somebody and say, this brother is completely deaf on his left ear and the right ear can't hear well. So that is why you will know whether you are an intercessor or a guardian or a custodian. Because now you have done a very intelligent sermon. This is where it must be shown. And there was no keyboardist there. I was already tired and drained. And God's servant said, yeah, yes, they brought him. Meanwhile, we crossed our legs and we're talking. But he is completely deaf on his left ear and the right cannot hear. You know, that guy is not waiting for a sermon. You are done with sermon. Now, ears has to open. And in less than 2 minutes, ears open. It's not tomorrow. He said, now, faith is now. It's not yesterday, faith is. It's not tomorrow, faith is. Now, faith is open. And the guy started saying, thank you, Father. I said, wait, don't thank Father yet. Let's check. The two ears opened immediately. That was when they knew that what this man is sharing, he didn't read it. He didn't read it. So, the people outside now will want to go back and hear that message. We didn't hear some things. Let's hear it well. Because the gospel is a demonstration of power. In fact, Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 4:20. He said, the kingdom of God is not words. He said, it is the demonstration of power. And so every believer who wants to be a witness for Jesus in this dark generation must know how power works. And when I began, I showed you 7 words for power in order to give you an idea what power is about. The first word I mentioned was alke. And I said alke is used in Luke chapter 20 verse 20. It is preeminence. It's influence. That's the kind of power that makes men reign. And so when you go into government, you may not reign just because you are a senator. In fact, you can be a senator and they will insult you till you leave office. Even in your constituency, you can't talk. I saw a video recently. Somebody came to his own hometown where he was a governor. And when he wanted to talk, it was not planned. They mobilized their own crowd to come there. They paid their own crowd. Even the crowd nowadays is fake. They will say, see crowd. No, they chattered them. When the event is over, they will line up and pay. So they mobilized their own crowd to come. While he was talking, so that they will record and make it go viral. Some group of people now came in the name of somebody else who has Al-Kay. The person who has Al-Kay was not there. But influence has a way of forcing the will of men to align. And so while this one who is his own state was talking, a group of people came and started chanting the name of the other person who is not even from that state, who is not around. It's called what? Al-Kay. You may not be on the throne, but you'll be more relevant than the one sitting on the throne. But there's a dynamic to walk it. And so if God is committing a vision to your hand, you will need Al-Kay for your world to receive it. It's a kind of power. It gives you preeminence, it gives you influence, and it gives you access. So much so that people cannot deny your presence. And then we spoke about exousia. And we said exousia is delegated authority. It's a power of antonym. And I said that power is positional. It's your sitting with Christ that gives you that kind of power. But the way that power works is through the revelation of who you are in Christ. And so the more your revelation in Jesus begins to grow, the more exousia begins to grow. So you begin to walk in authority. But we said that is not all there is about authority. We said as you begin to journey in authority, you will journey into another kind of power or authority called iskus. And I said iskus is not based on revelation. It's based on submission. Because it's when your obedience is fulfilled that you will avenge other disobedience. And so when you start walking in authority, you may be quoting scriptures and casting out demons until you now meet a principality. And then the scripture you quote, the principality will now tell you, no, you didn't quote it well. He will now quote it for you. You will now want to say in the name of Jesus, he will say, I know Jesus. So you don't even need to call the name. He knows it and he will help you call it. If you want, he will call it in Aramaic. Because the one Paul heard in Ephesus was not called in English. He knows the original way the name was pronounced. He can call it for you as Yeshua. And he won't fall down. So when you are dealing with a principality that is not cast out, you will need beyond revelation. Hope you know, when he met Jesus on the Mount of Temptation, they were arguing scriptures. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. He said, don't use revelation when you meet a principality. Use obedience. Because when the prince of this world comes to you, if he finds something, you are finished. And so as you journey in the corridor of authority, you migrate from exousia, which is revelation-based, you now come into obedience. He said, when your obedience is fulfilled, then you avenge other disobedience. Because there are spirits that if you fornicate, when you shout at them, they will give you cancer. Because you are violating spiritual protocol. It says, whoever you yield yourself servant to obey, the servant of him you are, whom you have obeyed. And so if you are standing on a stage, and because people are there, you now begin to command a spirit that is your master. He will be offended with you personally. We are in the same kingdom. Don't you understand stratification? Kedas. What? I'm supposed to give you instruction. What were you trying to do? He will knock you. Because you will move from exousia to what? To East Coast. You will stay under authority to exercise authority. He said, I am also a man under authority. I say to one, go, he goes. I say to another, come, he comes. I know you are also a man under authority. Speak the word only. That's not revelation. That is obedience. If you are under authority, you can exercise authority. It's called East Coast. And then when you move from the power authority corridors, you now go to the ability corridor. In the ability corridor is the power to create change. And the first thing you meet there is called dunamis. And we said dunamis is activated when you pray through. This is why when Jesus said the Holy Ghost shall bring you dunamis in Acts 1:8, the moment the Holy Ghost came, he came with tongues. Because if you don't speak in tongues, dunamis will not grow. And so the way dunamis works is when you pray through, you have a note of victory. It means you are charged. He said, you dearly beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So when you are praying, you are building up. The word build up is the word charge. And so when you are fully charged, dunamis begins to flow out of you. But I also said, it doesn't end in dunamis. There's also another one called kratos. And I said, kratos is also a power that works by charging. But this type is through consistency. So while in dunamis, if you pray for 10 hours, you are charged to do something. In kratos, you may have to pray every day for 8 months. Because this kind of ability to create change, it comes by a slow build-up. And so the just man will have to keep praying. As he's praying every day, he may not feel anything, but he's ascending. He's ascending. A point will come when he will enter an energy level and he begins to operate from that energy level. And finally, I said there's another power called anakazo. Anakazo is the power to compel. It says go into the highway and compel everyone you see to come. And so the reason men will follow you, the reason men will subscribe to your vision, is because there's a compelling force. Kings will not come to the brightness of your rising unless there is a power that compels. And anakazo is built in God's presence. When you sit in God's presence, transfiguration takes place. He said, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, we are metamorphosed. And you know what the Bible said concerning Jesus? He said, God, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And so when a man stays in God's presence and he begins to look more like Jesus, there is something that happens to him. The same way men are drawn towards Jesus, men start being drawn to him. He doesn't have to be a preacher. He can be doing business, selling water. He can be doing something, but there will be that force that pulls men to him. It's called anakazo. Even in darkness, there's an anakazo. Those days when we were young, there's one woman that used to say, there's this native moi moi, how do they call it now? Is it baked what? Baked beans? Beans cake. For those of you who are learned. So I need to use the word because some people are watching from the UK. It's beans cake. So they do this native bread with beans and with other things. So there's this woman that does hers. In the morning, if she's selling, people will come and pack cars and wash plates by themselves. Nobody will come and give you plate. You will rush and carry a plate. If somebody is eating, you will now be waiting. When the person finish eating, you will now carry the plate, go and wash it, and come and queue up. And people will be fighting themselves. You will see somebody lower his tie in the morning because they want to eat. We didn't know what was happening until one priest, a Catholic priest, showed up. who had power. And when he entered the city, that day, oh dear Lord, ah, power, power, power. He showed up and they had the Holy Ghost service. And when he started worshiping, the hand of God came down and touched the woman. And the woman began to manifest. The demons began to speak. That was when we knew that what the woman uses to make her own okpa or beans cake is oil from children. And the spoon she uses is not a spoon. It's a hand of a man they gave her from the demonic oven. So when she's turning the food, it's human hand. You are seeing a spoon, but it's a hand. And when she's spicing it up, she puts oil that has been enchanted. And that oil, they extract it from children, innocent children that they kill in the demonic oven. So they extract the oil, make enchantment. So it is a fragrance from that baby that draws people. The way you see a child and you want to kiss the child, you want to hold the child, that's what draws men. And all of us without discernment. You will buy it, eat, and then keep some for break when you go to school. We now discover there is anakazo in darkness. It's a high technology. That's why anakazo only works in the presence. It's a spirit that will put that wisdom in you. So you, if you see a baby now, you will just hug the baby. You will kiss the baby because of the innocence. So that was what the same aroma that was drawing everybody. You wonder why bankers will fight. Bankers that should go to work by 7:30. They are fighting to get upper. But it was a demonic anakazo. It's in light that these things exist, but they pervert it in darkness. And so, thousands, we have to lead this world. We are supposed to disciple this world. But there's a power we need to carry for the world to look at us and follow. They will not have a choice. That's why I say on the last day, the house of the Lord shall be upon the mountains of the Lord. Isaiah 2 verse 2 and Micah 4 verse 1. And he said, men of all nations shall say, let us go to the house of the Lord. He said, for out of Zion proceeds the law. They are coming there not to be excited. They are coming there to be discipled. Yet, they will come with joy. Because there's a power that is compelling them. It's called anakazo. However, there are dynamics. And so tonight, the reason we are going to teach us. Time is the body. One power that I will trust God for before I leave this world is to suspend time. Even if it's for 1 minute. You are a body. Time. Fortified you. In you is the potential for Alke. In you is the potential for Dunamis. In you is the potential for Iskus. In you is the potential for Exousia. In you is the potential for Kratos. And in you is the potential for Anakazo. You can be a victim. But there is a protocol. There is a protocol for you to become a city set upon the hill that cannot be hid. Borrow me 15 minutes. Let me touch some things. Borrow me 15 minutes. Borrow me 15 minutes. Do I have 15 minutes? The doctrine of power. Every believer needs power. And it's not just one type of power. All. Because we are called to represent a spirit in the human sphere. And we are not just representing that spirit as a being. We are bringing the government of that spirit to superimpose on earthly government. It will take a lot of authority for that to happen. Because when you show up in a territory and you want to superimpose another government, you have made a declaration of war. Because no kingdom will give way for another kingdom without a fight. It takes battles, warfares, for spirits to be installed and their influences in territories. And every one of us is saddled with a mandate to do the same in our spheres of influence. Sit down. Let's look at what to do in order to grow in these powers. What I will share tonight has the potential of growing you in all of the dimensions of the power. So it's very important. So tonight I call it operating in power by virtue. Virtue. This kind of power is virtue that activates it. Because it is the sovereignty of God that apportions layers to you in this context. Remember, I told you power is in energy levels. The power that lights your bulb cannot power your pressing iron or your heater. You will need more intensity to carry pressing iron. And so, if you want to grow in power, one area you must pay attention to is the area of virtue. And there are certain virtues that are power sensitive in this kingdom. Everybody who walked in these virtues had so much authority. And sometimes, it's difficult to even trace it. But when you study the scripture in between, you will now discover these virtues they carried was what made them operate power in that order. And so tonight, I just want to mention four of them. Because we don't have time, I may just quote scriptures here and there and have you go study on it. The first virtue that releases power is brokenness. The second virtue that releases power is purity. The third virtue that releases power is reverence for God or the fear of the Lord. And the fourth virtue that releases power is love. If you check your Christian life, these four things I've mentioned are constantly under attack. Everybody, there is a technology the devil will insist will work in your life to make sure you operate in pride. The reason is because he knows that humility, meekness, and brokenness is one of the activators of power. And so when a man begins to function in pride, every revelation he has will be made null and void because God himself will resist him. He said, for God resists the proud, but he giveth more grace to the humble. And so you can have all the revelation for exousia. You can have all the prayer and prayer life that should engender dynamis, engender kratos. But if you are proud, when you are done with those your revelation and prayer, God will humble you. Because the route into power is humility first. And so the reason God is humbling you is not to intimidate you. It's because without humility, you can't carry power. And so what God does is to humble the proud. To humble the proud. And so a man who wants to walk in power, he won't wait for God to humble him. He will now humble himself. The Bible speaking in Psalm 51 verse 17. He said the sacrifices of God. You need to read the book of Leviticus to understand the sacrifices of God. There is the wave offering, there is the sin offering, there is the burnt offering. They are endless. Every day, one of the major assignments of priests is to slaughter animals. Because the moment a man sins or there is a blemish, something is coming. So, sacrifice in the courts of God doesn't end. As you are finishing one, there's a need for another. So, the Israelites in those days usually keep money aside for sacrifices. Because if you violate God, you are gone. And so, the way they walk with God is through sacrifice. Blood must cover you all the time. But when we came into the new technology, David, being a prophet, began to look into the future. And he began to perceive something. That what God is looking for is a kind of sacrifice that does not just atone for man, but that makes man become like God, to be able to stay under the government of God. And so David summarized burnt offering, sin offering, wave offering, all the sacrifices that the Israelites offered into one thing. He said the sacrifices of God. Whatever you call it, he said it is summarized into one. He said a contrite heart and a broken spirit. He said, thou shalt not despise. And so when you find a humble man and a broken man, that man has offered burnt offering. He has offered wave offering. He has offered sin offering. Because the totality of the sacrifices that satisfies the appetite of the oracle called Elohim is summarized in brokenness. And so every time a broken man appears, God releases the totality of his power. This is why one of the first men that wielded powers that the world has never seen is the man Moses. Before Moses came, they didn't know about power. Power. That a man could wield power like a god. Even the people who had some measure of power before Moses, things were just happening to them. They didn't have the authority to speak and things happened. The first person that walked on earth like a god was Moses. It was Moses that showed up in Egypt just with a staff and shut down a whole civilization. It was Moses that walked for 40 days through the wilderness, and the visible Shekinah was walking with him. You could see the glory of God visibly for 40 days and 40 nights. It was Moses that opened the windows of heaven and collected angels' bread and fed men with. In the days of Moses, in the glory, the Bible said their garments grew with them, their shoe grew with them. And he said there was none feeble amongst their tribe. It was Moses that stood and said, except I'm not a man of God, let the earth open her mouth. And how did he know that the earth has a mouth? Powers. A point came. God himself addressed Moses. Exodus 7 verse 1. He said, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. So the first man that walked in the stature of a god on earth was Moses. But what was the secret of his power? In Numbers chapter 12 verse 3. He said, Moses is the meekest. That was the secret of his power. It was not a revelation. It was brokenness. He said, Moses is the meekest of all men that walked on the face of the earth. In fact, a point came when other people who thought they were prophets wanted to attack Moses. Immediately, the anger of God came down. And God began to warn a man for challenging another man. And he said, why were you not afraid? The stature this guy had was so tall into the heavens that God was asking another man, why were you not afraid of Moses? He said, other prophet I speak to in the similitude of visions. He said, but Moses, my servant, I talk to face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Why were you not afraid? The first man that saw the visage of God, he said, I will hide you by the cleft of the rock, and I will cause all my goodness to pass by. He said, you cannot see my face because no man see me and live. He said, however, you will see my back. The question is, what is the back of God? Because when you look at God and the presence of God, every creature that stands in the presence of God has four faces. Because God, the glory of God, has four dimensions. That's why the office of Christ is four. That's why the tabernacle has four sides. Because the glory of God has four faces. So when God is looking forward, he's looking back. He's looking side and he's looking at the other side. So when he said, you will not see my face, you will see my back. The back is also a face. And so when Jesus said, no man has seen God at any time, what Jesus meant was no man has seen the totality of the oracles of God. But Moses saw the back face of God. And that was why he couldn't die. They had to do experiment with his body. When Moses died, even the devil came to take his body and to study. But what gave this man so much power? Kings bowed before him. Moses didn't need to fight. When he walked through a city, the terror of God journeyed with him, that nations paralyzed. A point came when Moses was supposed to pass through the territory of Sihon, the Amorite. When he was supposed to pass through the territory of Og, the king of Bashan. Stories had gone ahead that when these men pass, they lick up your city. Because of the power that they commanded. If they carry stones, they will defeat you. Sometimes, they don't need to fight. If they pass, they will take over that land. That was why Balak needed to go seek the counsel of Balaam. Because there was a testimony that whoever Balaam curses is cursed. Because we know nobody can fight Moses. Come and curse them before we fight them. And when Balaam came to curse them, Moses was not praying. But there was a technology of power that Moses knew. He said he caused Israel to sit around the tabernacle. He turned the Torah to become the center and circumference of their civilization. And so on one side, you have three tribes. On another side, he surrounded them. So before you attack them, you attack the Torah. And so even when Balaam stood up, he said, there's no enchantment against Jacob. There's no divination against Israel. You can't cross them. This man is a mobile force. What backs this man up is beyond the revelation. He said, the shout of a king is in their midst. So when God is walking, when Moses is moving, it's God that is speaking.
God is the one who defends him. The shout of the king. That's why he said, he gave a law in the spirit. He said, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. If you touch them, you are gone. How did a man walk in this power? He said, Moses was the meekest of all men that live. And so any man who wants to walk in power, the first lecture he needs to have is the lecture of brokenness. When a man becomes proud, he rids himself of the possibility of authority in the spirit. Imagine. The Bible said God inhabits the praise of his people. So the standard protocol is we are the ones to be singing for God to sit. But when Moses is moving, he said the shout of a king is in their midst. So God is the one singing in the company of Moses. What kind of power is that? No wonder I say Moses, my servant, is faithful in all of my house. Moses. And the point came, Moses said, a prophet like unto me shall the Lord send to you. You know who he was talking about? Jesus. Because he was the first man to reach the stature of a God among men. How did he walk there? You come, you are walking like a peacock. Because you have one iPhone. Or you drove a car, you are walking like this. You fell. The day you ascended the throne of pride was the day you fell. Because the most ranking among the cherubs, the Bible said, he said in his heart, I will exalt my throne. The moment pride came, he said, iniquity has been found in thy heart. Ah, how art thou fallen, oh Lucifer, son of the morning? He said, you were in Eden, the mountains of God. He said, the multitude of thy merchandise. The guy was a beauty. He said, thou that sealest the song. He was the totality of wisdom and beauty. He said, from the day you were created, you were covered with the finest of stone. Jasper, carbuncle, diamond, sapphire, all kinds of stones were thy covering. He said, thy taps and thy tablets were in thee. You walked in Eden, the mountains of God. But how art thou falling? Why did he fall from the height of glory? Because he substituted pride for humility. And so when a man becomes pride, he's dethroned. And when a man becomes humble, even if there's no visible throne and there's no crown on his head, he's a king. The heights God takes you to, you can't explain it. You become like a god among men. Jacob cursed Reuben. Reuben, he said, you are the first of my strength. The excellency of wisdom and strength. He said, but you went on to my bed. And so as unstable as water, you will not prosper. And Moses showed up. A patriarch cursed a man. And Moses said, let Reuben live and not die. And let his men not be few. Without any consultation, he changed the course. A course by a patriarch. Because when he talks, his words are law. A point came, even the book, the law of God, became the laws of Moses. God decided to name his own laws after Moses. What kind of authority is that? That when Jesus will want to be transfigured, the Moses that we thought was dead, the place where his body was hid, they carried it from the museum of the spirit, gave him again, and his spirit entered, and he stood on the mount of transfiguration and was telling Jesus what he should do in Jerusalem. Who told you pride is an advantage? It's a deception from the pit of hell. You want to walk in power. The psalmist gave us the secret by the intelligence of the prophetic anointing. He said, a contrite heart, a broken spirit. He said, thou, O Lord. He didn't say you will not despise. He said, you cannot despise. Because a contrite heart and a broken spirit are the sacrifices of God.
Yeah.
of power is humility.
Humility can dethrone a cherub. Pride can dethrone a cherub. But humility can make a man become greater than a cherub. Pride is a mystery that destroys. Because the mystery of rebellion is locked in pride. This is why any man who wants to handle power. Some people think crisis is their problem. No. It's fame. It's influence. It's material possession that is the real problem of man. The Bible calls it the deceitfulness of riches. Somebody who was humble. Now you have 10 cars. And then pride of life sets in. You now begin to act in a certain way. You think you are adding honor to yourself. You are actually deranking in the spirit. And the worst part is when you see people who have not even gotten anything or gotten anywhere, walking like a peacock. Have the sister under the anointing. You are walking like, He said, let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus. He said, who being in the likeness of God considered it not robbery to be equal with God. He said, he humbled himself to die the death of a criminal. And he said, because of what he has done, God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every other name. So the mystery of exaltation is in humility and brokenness. Even the Christ had to go down in order to be exalted. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The day you become proud was the day you fell. And the day you become humble was the day you were enthroned. The power that shakes the heavens is tied to humility. Varilado Sabina Gaya Ragabina Talabas. Alo Peparate Azatuna Sakatani Shagata Sabia Pariata Takapanos Aragabina Takatapato Barota Vila Hata Alena Soria Ayayana Paragatia Talas. Ask great men, they will tell you that they are hard working, but they know the results they command is beyond hard work. They will tell you. Because it's God that exalts men. And the criteria for exaltation is brokenness. He said, the Lord resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Even riches is God that gives. That's why you have to be very careful. Somebody was talking to me, he said, the Bible says work that you may have to eat. So hard work can only give you enough to eat. But when it came to wealth, he said it is God that giveth power to get wealth. He said God gave riches to Solomon. And what God will see to exalt you with influence and power is the state of your heart. Do you not know why the 20 and 4 elders, the only thing the man described about their activity was that they fall from their throne. They cast their crown. Because they know the secret of being at the highest is to be the humblest. So the man who is at the top can't sit on a throne. Only God has enough stature to sit on a throne at the highest. Every other person who makes it to the highest must fall from that throne and cast his crown in order to remain there. The grace to remain humble, you will walk in it. We will walk in it. Oh, yeah. Oh, Marake Bahalikai. Aziza Salavaro Paragata. Alagadi Dazazina. Paragata Vela Pida Paragadia. Sagagadila Paragadonda. Radiba Paragira Arados Dalabraste. How God works. The name was already Jesus before the foundations of the world, but he had to demonstrate it to humankind. He humbled himself.
The New Living Translation said, he did not hold on to the right of equality with God. He did not hold on to the right of equality with God. He said he humbly laid it down and took the fashion of a man. He said, being made in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself to become a servant. And he said, being a servant, he was killed and he died the death of a criminal. He now said, therefore, you find young people today, they can't even walk under leaders. Stay here, do this, they are offended. You spoke to me like this, you will go nowhere. If you like, have the best voice in the world. You will go nowhere. Some people look at men, they say, it's because he can preach. That's why God is raising him. Who told you? Hear some preachers, you will cry. And go back to Bible school. Promotion does not come from the south. It does not come from the west. It is God that exalted men. The power that God gives to men is tied to the depths of their brokenness. Jesus had to be humbled. The 24 elders have to demonstrate humility continually to remain there. How can a man have a throne and not sit on it? Because if you sit on it, you will not sit there again. A generation is about to be lost because of pride and arrogance. I can pray. I'm a prayer warrior. And so what? Did you not see Jesus condemn the Pharisees for praying? For praying. He said, you take pride in your long prayers. You stand by the street corners to be seen of men. He said, you have your reward. I know the Bible. I can preach. Did you read Paul? He said, for the multitude of revelation that God gave me, he allowed a tone to remain in my flesh. To humble you. Because to remain in power, you must remain in humility. We are out of time. Lift your hands and pray. Ask the Lord for the grace for humility. Alekivo harikaya. Barakone sasaliga parakida. Alalakida paradoska. You want to walk in power? Ask the Lord, break me daily. Lord, humble me. Keep me humble. Don't let me rob myself of the glory, of the power, of the excellency. There is a kingdom to be advanced. I need power to advance it. So, humble me, Father. God. Ela fikaite parigata. Alagado, baragane, sazatina, aratinata, talagasto, babando, rabina, taila, aregatina, sadagabanos, arablactatina, aradaste, mantoria, paras, ratatatiata, donada, arrigo, pareca, sazavi, cagatina, ataliga, paraquino, atoso, sazatina, sazat, sakika, par este, estelila, aregatina, cabaragasto, omarake, tovelia, azusa, paras, baras, devae, yelelequina, paradona, Eporate, Abelila, Abenanite, Avaracadota, Azono, Talata, Tila Kaya. Nobody here will be small. He said, a little one shall become a thousand. A small one shall become a great nation. As you hear these truths today, the grace to walk in them, receive that grace now. Christianity is dying because men are no longer interested in virtues. Virtues are the forces that define the authenticity of our belief system. Virtues. Brokenness. He said, when he was reviled, he reviled not. He said, he committed all judgment to God that judges justly and judges all. When they came to attack him, Peter took a sword. He said, put it back. Do you not know that now I can ask my Father and he will send 12 legions? But this commandment have I received of my Father? Power to lay down my life. Humility is a power. You lose nothing being humble. You lose nothing. Because Jesus demonstrated it. And if it was true for him, it is true for everybody. As you return, everything that makes you proud, the Lord will take it away. And when God deals with pride, he will give you a thousandfold in return. Sit down. We are out of time. Humility. The first foundation for genuine power. There's too much fakeness now. People build momentum around themselves. Exhort themselves. Lie. Say all kinds of things. Exaggeration. Create all forms of packaging. Just to appear big. Relax. It's God that exhorts men. He said a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. This is why many start lying. This is why many become fake. Trying to create impression is not necessary. You can walk into the meeting, shake people, they will still respect you. I know familiarity breeds contempt. And the reason we try not to be familiar is to help people. It's not to add value to ourselves. Don't let the devil introduce corruption into your soul. Pride takes no man nowhere. Purity. I wish I had time. The Bible said in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, it said Daniel and his friends proposed in their hearts that they will not defy themselves with the portion of the king's meat. This is what many are looking for. Today, many people are looking for opportunity to go to the government house. They call it national cake. Somebody else is rooted there. He said, I will not. He said, they refuse the wine of the king, the way of Babylon. And see what God did. Exalted him. A point came. The Bible said, the king thought to make him president of the realm. The glory, the majesty, the power that God gave one man. A time came when Daniel was to be introduced in Daniel 5 from 11 to 16. He said, there's a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. He said, light and understanding is in this man. An excellent spirit. He said, he has the power to explain hard sentences. He became a spectacle in the whole of Babylon. A city of corruption. How did he stay pure? In Genesis 39 verse 9, the Bible speaks of Joseph. The wife of Potiphar offered herself free of charge. Why some people are trying to impress beautiful people, trying to impress rich people, in order to get something, the woman threw herself at the boy. And he had the advantage of becoming the right-hand man of Potiphar and enjoying everything the house has to offer. He said, your husband has not kept anything from me except you. He said, how can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? He was thrown into prison for 14 years. There was no record that he refused once. But the Bible told us that God was testing him. In Psalm 105 verse 17, he said he sent a man before them. Even Joseph, whom they sold as a servant. He said his feet was bound in fetters. Until the time that his word came, he said the word of the Lord tried him. He said the king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and king and ruler of his substance. To bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. How can a slave become a teacher of senators? It's called power. It's only purity that gives that kind of authority. You cut corners today and you think it will take you anywhere. No. In Hebrews 1:9, it said, because thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. It said, even thy God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. There is an authority that purity brings. Why do you think this world is interested in compromise? A child is 15 years. She's already giving to all forms of sexual promiscuity. Because they know that if that child is pure, the potential of that destiny is unimaginable. Somebody gets a job. It's not up to 1 month. It's already taking bribe. They know that God is just leading that person to a place of glory. And so in order for you not to arrive there, compromise will defy you before you get there. But he said, come out of among them. He said, touch not the unclean thing.
He said, they that bear the vessels of God must be holy. He said, in the great house, there are many vessels. 2 Timothy 2 from verse 20. He says, some unto honor, others unto dishonor. He said, if a man purges himself, there is a labor you put in order to walk without compromise, to stay pure and to stay holy. If a man purges himself, he said, that man is meet, qualified for the master's use. And when the master uses you, you walk in the glory that he walks in. You walk in the authority that he walks in. And so one of the shortest route to power is to walk in purity. But too many persons are compromised. The love of many will wax cold, because iniquity will abound. Let's pray. Dear Lord, time. Lift your hands toward heaven. You want to walk in power? You must be broken. You want to walk in power? Purity must become your watchword. You want to walk in power? You need reverence and fear for God. Isaiah 11 verse 2, he plucked the root out of Jesse. He said, upon him is the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of wisdom, and the spirit of understanding, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And to let you know that the seventh spirit rests on the spirit of the fear, he went to verse 3. He said, he made him of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. The moment that happened, the new Jerusalem, the order, the protocol of the new Jerusalem appeared. That is when the lion eats grass. That is when the lion and the goat will dwell together. Absolute dominion. Because one who walked in the fear of the Lord has been enthroned into majesty eternal. Arrogant generation. Godless generation. That's why we are using all kinds of formula. They teach you how faith works. Teach you how to... How many results do we have to show? Nothing. The fear of the Lord. Job 1:2, he said, it's a man that feared God and eschewed evil. He said he was the greatest of all men from the east. He feared God and eschewed evil. He was the greatest of all men from the east. He said, him that fears me, 1 Samuel 2:30. Or him that honors me, I will honor. That's reverence. And he said, him that despises me shall be lightly esteemed. You can't walk in authority except as you tremble at the word of God. This is a generation where somebody is using the name of God to lie. Even in church. They tell you, God told me, it's a lie. God told nothing. And finally, love. When he wanted to make Peter the head of the apostles, he didn't bring a revelational test. He brought a test of love. John 21, 15 and 16. Lovest thou me more than this? That is the test of power. He said, Lord, you know I do. He said, feed my lamb. Again, lovest thou me more than this? If you read that scripture, the first word for love is filio. That's friendship love. At that level, he said, feed my lamb. The second word is agape. That word is a stronger word than filio. At that level, he said, feed my sheep. So for you to grow in authority, you have to grow in love. Some people think it's revelation that makes them stay in charge. You'll be shocked. Authority is a function of love. Do you think God will risk giving you authority if there's no love in your heart? You come and curse everybody and they die, and you think that's power. That's weakness. It's easier to destroy than to build. A house that is built in 10 years can be destroyed in 1 minute. So when God wants to really empower men, he checks their heart. When James and his brother said, Father, Lord, let's call down fire and destroy these people. The way Elijah called down fire, he rebuked them. He said, you know not the spirit that you are of. We don't destroy, we build. And so when God sees love in the heart of a man, he begins to empower that man beyond limits. Do you know how they insulted Moses? They ridiculed the man. This is a man that called down the glory of God, walking visibly. But Moses was not moved. It was even people that rose up to defend Moses. There was too much love. The difference between a hireling and a shepherd is love. It's not skill. Lift your hands and ask God to help us tonight.
Today, pastors take pride in pulling people down. Somebody is preaching for 6 months and all the messages is attacking somebody. You don't have revelation anymore. That's just a cover of strategy. Anybody can rise through propaganda. Preach Christ. The way you correct, the way you show fake money is by presenting the original. But there's no love, envy, bitterness, insecurity. That's what dominates us. And so people are using puppy to attack themselves. And you think the followers will be mature? That's why gossip has become the order of the day. That's why backbiting has become the order of the day. Because they are not revealing Jesus to them. Because you want to attack somebody, it becomes an inspiration for a message. Even the people of the world do better. And we are so excited when a man falls. When a man falls, that message is sweeter than the gospel of Jesus. When we preach it, laugh, and act as though we are giving a lesson. Meanwhile, it is the bitterness in our soul that was just amplified. The virtue of love will not depart from you. The Bible says, if you love not the Lord Jesus, you are anathema maranatha. You are an accursed product waiting for the coming of the Lord. You want to walk in power? You must be broken. You want to walk in power? You must be pure. You want to walk in power? You must, of necessity, walk in love. And you want to walk in power? By all means. By all means. If you will do anything possible, do it to make sure that these four things are evident in your life. Remember, I spoke about purity before speaking about love, because we are not endorsing error, but we deal with problems, not people. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance over you. And the Lord give you peace. Every grace you require in order to manifest a glorious destiny by the Spirit of God eternal, I release that grace to you now. And everyone walking under the dominion of darkness, because of what you've heard and the adjustments you have made in your heart, receive the authority to crush the head of the serpent. Receive the authority to cut off the tongue of the Leviathan. And receive the authority to rule and to reign in life. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name, give the Lord a shout. 2 minutes, we take the announcement. Can we take the song?
Inside me, Yahweh is inside me.
Where is Sai?
Inside me, Yahweh is inside me. Yahweh.
Do you know when we are singing this song? Hear this. Do you know when we are singing this song? It said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't be humble except by Christ. You can't walk in love except by Christ. You can't walk in the fear of God except by Christ. And you can't walk in purity except by Christ. One more time. Give me that sound.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.